I'm not stalling.
No, well, you wouldn't do that.
Nope, I wouldn't do ever. That. You're right.
That's not my guy. Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh.
No way, dude. Hell no.
No, don't turn off my mic. I know what I'm doing, okay? I know what I'm doing. I've done this show for... Hey, Dad, don't turn off the fucking mic. The one thing they don't want to hear is silence. No, you shut the fuck up, Dad. Bad enough that you bring the stubbornness into my life and the mom's life. Don't bring it into everybody else's.
It's woke news on the John B. Show.
Yeah, I love it. I always love it.
So good. So good. I'd like to tell you a tale. Johnny Ooh. B, I want to I tell tales. You a tale about a coffee shop, a cafe in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Barf.
It was called Mina's World.
Okay.
Mina's World prided itself in being a queer-owned business. It has officially closed its doors after the employee revolt. The cafe was owned by a person named Kate Egghart and Sonam Parkey. Two queer activists who started Mina's in an effort to create an inclusive coffee shop. However, their employees have claimed that Egghart and the name I can't say are anti-black and gentrifiers.
Okay.
Yeah, gentrifiers.
That doesn't seem inclusive at all.
No, it does not. A gentrifier is a term to describe those who purposely contribute to the displacement of low-income families.
Oh, yeah.
Mina's World was located just around the corner from Malcolm X Park in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And employed mostly minority workers. Now, ironically, prior to the allegations from employees... the name I can't say spoke to Bon Appetit about the opening of Mina's World and said that she worked at a different coffee shop and that the white ownership neglected to protect their black employees and trans employees. I knew there needed to be a space where you could have an amazingly made cup of coffee that's not whitewashed.
I have never experienced any level of racism on either side from a coffee shop ever. Coffee shops all seem to have the same culture to me.
Whatever, cracker. Fast forward two years, and employees of Mina's World have put out a public statement where they reclaimed that they were suffering from a plethora of systematic woes as a result of the alleged gentrification, including employer opposition and anti-blackness.
Okay.
So these people, they put up the workers, I should say, they set up an Instagram to voice their displeasure. They they put up a list of grievances, which is basically... buzzwords, but they said that the list of grievances included anti-blackness in a multitude of forms and occasions, ableism in the form of inaccessibility, exploitation of labor and denial of promised wage increases, abuse of power, manipulation, of financial transparency, the tokenization as a way to appear safe by association. So that means basically that they just hired these people so then they could abuse them. And then they could be like, no, we have trans employees, we have black employees, we talk about it. Be like, yeah, we know why you did it.
They used it as an advertising scam, and then they abused them after they hired them.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, because of this list of grievances, the employees had a list of demands that they wanted. Essentially, they wanted the owners to redistribute the business to them. They demanded a public acknowledgement and accountability for grievances and harm caused, immediate payment to staff that have had payment withheld, including back pay, and the owners redistribute the business and begin the process of transforming the business into a co-op instead of an actual business. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to fly.
The owners posted a video. It was kind of like a hostage-style video where they said... we're going live as part of a radical accountability process. We're complicit in the gentrification and anti-blackness on 52nd Street. We put our community at risk with our presence as well as our workers.
What? So they're admitting it.
Well, yeah, they tried to apologize and move on from there. But the two owners agreed to attempt to hand over the ownership of Mina's. So they were really going to do it. They were going to hand over their business to these these wackadoos. They were going to try to hand over the ownership of Mina's, saying that with the guidance of the workers and Black and Brown Workers Collective, We're going to raise funds to buy the business and turn it over to our staff.
Holy hell.
The hostile takeover quickly backfired on the employees as the owner of the building where Mina's World is housed listed the property for sale. Now, what was ironic, too, it was one of these persons that owned the Mina's, it was their mom, who was a Korean immigrant.
Okay.
It was a
can't even write this on a movie.
I know.
It's amazing.
It's so good. I read about this today and I was like, holy moly, thank God I caught this before, you know, we got it done this week.
I would like to be a mediator for that. I'd like to handle all the mediation talks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd like to be there for it.
Yeah, well, despite the owners of Mina's World being radically progressive, with Philly Eats even calling the cafe a, quote, queer haven, Egghart and Parikh were still cannibalized by the mob, and they have officially closed their doors this week.
Oh, man.
Very sad. Jeez. So sad.
My question is, how was the coffee? Was it good? I wonder.
I'm sure it was delicious. You know, these stores, I've never had a bad cup of coffee at any coffee shop that, you know, specializes in these things. You could buy a machine. Some of these machines are crazy expensive, by the way, but you can buy a very expensive coffee machine and it is going to be just the best cup of coffee you've ever had. If you long as you get some good beans and a $100,000 machine, it's going
to
be great.
You don't even need that much, dude. A nice Nespresso, dude. Like when I was filming that that pilot a couple of years ago, they had an Nespresso machine at the lawyer's office where we were doing a lot of the filming, and that it's not even close. Like I have a really nice Keurig in my kitchen. You know, it has a frother, it has all the cool stuff, you know, it's probably a $300 machine. But those Nespressos are like $500, $600, $700 for one of those machines.
Mm.
And it just doesn't compare. It's like an Italian man, you know, went to Brazil, picked the right beans, then went back to Italy, and then, you know, went through 10 years of schooling on how to make coffee and just to make the finest cup of espresso. Then he made it with his bare hands, with waters from aquifers, from mountains that you have to hike 10 miles to get to. And then it gives it to you in a little cup, and you just go, and it tastes so rich and so delicious. That's what those Nespressos taste like.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
I want one.
I need to find a good – I like iced coffee. Not a big hot coffee person.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a pitcher, and then it has this – kind of like a tea steeper. Well, I guess it's a steeper, you know, that you put in there, and then you put the coffee in, you let it sit for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. But it still gets a little bit of like grit and grime in there. It doesn't filter all the little particles out.
Yeah.
I need something that's like,
you just gotta buy it, dude.
Well, buy what? What do I buy?
It's not cheap. Publix has jugs of iced coffee already made. And you can get Starbucks brand. They got this other brand that's a little cheaper, but you buy it a half gallon at a time, and it's really good.
I know. I love it. But the thing is I would go through probably almost half a container a day. I don't want to – I mean, coffee is relatively cheap. You know,
not for good iced coffee. For like a venti, you're talking $4, you know.
No, just making your own coffee.
Huh?
I'm talking about just making my own coffee. It's relatively cheap. When you're buying it out, it's really expensive. That's why
if you buy the jug,
that's expensive.
You get, not really. If you buy it at a grocery store, I think I priced it out with Leah one time. You're paying a little over $1 for a venti iced coffee at your house if you buy it in the jugs. It's not bad.
Oh, I think it's more. They did have Publix had a special on one of them, and I bought it. It was 3 for $10, and that lasted me less than a week. But I buy a thing of coffee, and I have, you know, that will last me many weeks, and it's like $6.
And sometimes when I want to do an iced coffee, I just brew my Keurig. I'll do like 2 K-cups and a big, one of those big Yeti, cups, the big metal cups. I put the lid on, then I just put it in a refrigerator until the next morning or, you know, for several hours. It cools off, and then I just put ice and, you know, and my stuff in it, and it's fine.
Mm. It's good. Okay. Well, I need to find a good cold brew maker that I can make at home myself.
Gotcha. What you need is a barista as a roommate.
That would be great. With a $100,000 coffee machine.
Oh, my God, yes.
Help me out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to make a coffee on this next break, for sure.
Oh. A transgendered inmate who allegedly impregnated 2 women at a prison in New Jersey has reportedly been transferred out of the facility. back in.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Who would have thought this would happen? I mean,
I don't know.
Crazy.
Well, at least she's not swimming, you know, in college.
Back in April, the New Jersey Department of Corrections told NJ.com that two inmates at the correctional facility became pregnant after having consensual relationships with another incarcerated person. The identities of the two pregnant inmates were not disclosed at the time, and it was unclear if the two pregnant inmates had sex with the same transgender inmate or with different transgender inmates. Do they have more than one? Now the Department of Corrections confirmed to NJ.com that one transgender inmate who impregnated both of those women had been transferred to Garden State Youth Correctional Facility, a pregnant for young adult offenders. What? What is going on?
What are we doing, dude?
Dude, so this person, the transgender inmate, is 27 years old, by the way.
Oh, no.
Their name is Demi Minor. They were placed in Edna Mahan after New Jersey enacted the policy in 2021, allowing prisoners to be placed in different facilities in accordance with the gender identity of their preference.
If I remember correctly, we did the story back in April. Wasn't this lady like completely living as a man until just before the court case, and then decided to turn into a woman to transition at that point, but was completely living as a man? And, you know, there was no indication that this person was a transgender person until, you know, it came court time. And then they said, I'm transgender, I'm a woman. And then went into prison and started making people pregnant.
That sounds right, but I'm not positive about that.
I know we had a case like that, and I don't want to say it's the same person, but I really think it is.
It definitely could be.
Yeah.
They have a Twitter account. This person, Demi Minor.
Demi's with minors now. Yeah.
Yeah, literally. Free Miss Demi. I don't understand. See, that's the thing that was so shocking this to me. It's not even, it gets worse. Like, okay, so you're taking them with adult women, and now you're putting them with children.
Yeah.
What is going on? I can't imagine anyone sees this and goes, yeah, that's the right thing to do.
There are plenty of people doing that right now. And if just us questioning, we sound like transphobic, but we're not.
Okay.
This is a criminal getting put in jail with kids.
Even if you go, look, I think that you are the sex or gender that you say you are. Okay, so this person says they're female, so you put them in prison with females. Okay. Right. I can almost get my head around that, because at least... Sure. It's there's some sort of logic there. I may disagree with it personally, but okay, fine. But to go, now they're getting all these chicks pregnant in that prison. This lady is getting everybody pregnant. So now you're going to put them with kids?
Yeah.
There's no circumstances where that's acceptable.
It doesn't make sense at all.
So, it's shocking. They have a. Yeah. I'm so curious. I'm afraid to play the video, but they have a. How did Miss Demi Minor, and her name's Miss Minor too, and she's going to prison.
I know
the simulation has a great sense of humor. That's really all I can say. It's you know, terrifying.
It's not is she in jail for a Miss Demi Minor?
I think it must be a felony. I would assume. I'm very curious, but.
I don't know.
Should I play the video from her Twitter feed?
You could dump it.
Okay. I just want to know how. Well, I know that people can get, you know, phones in prison. Obviously, we know that.
They keister them, yeah.
But you would think, I don't know. This tweet is still up. It's been, when was this tweeted? July 17th, which was a couple days ago. All right. I'm going to play it and see what happens.
It's going to be bad.
Okay, the audio is really bad.
I can't make out.
They're just
saying.
He or they is just kind of standing there doing this, like waving, and he's sashaying around. Sashaying around.
Right.
Says, thanks to those who support justicefordemi.org and have sent their love. I hate it here, and above all, I have been so heartbroken over the abuse that the DOC is carrying out. I found
he
the courage to post
two
this
prisoners.
Video.
I know
he's wrong. You know, he's wrong. They are wrongfully you know, incarcerated.
Okay. All right. Neat.
I'm just...